Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from our lectionary passage in Matthew's Gospel. It's the 14th chapter. It's the story that Jip and Mindy and I talked about a little bit. I really am intrigued by this passage, and I can't wait to share it with you. This is chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. And by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught Peter, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Try and true.
This is a sermon about spirituality. When you think of spirituality, what do you think of? What comes to your mind? When I think of that term, I always think I should light a candle or something. You know, spirituality. Ooh. This passage intrigues me in Matthew's gospel. We read that Jesus dismissed the crowds, went up to the mountain by himself alone to pray. To me, this passage offers a pattern for what Christian spirituality looks like. Jesus dismissed the crowds, went up to the mountain, a retreat place, alone to pray with and to God. In these words, I find a pattern for spirituality. We take time out in the busy life to pray. We take holy pause in the midst of sometimes frenetic activity. Work is balanced by rest. Time with a crowd is balanced by time with God alone. In the busy world, our lives are soothed by the whisper of God. And to hear that whisper, we need to stop and listen. In the midst of much busyness, Jesus dismissed his disciples, went up to the mountain alone to pray. So Jesus goes from full speed to full stop, where his life is busy and filled with activity and with work, feeding the 5,000, lamenting and hearing the news of the murder of his cousin, John the Baptist. From all of that and the travel and the teaching, to this silence alone, away from the crowds on the mountain. This is a sermon about spirituality. Remember that. What does spirituality mean to you? When Christian people, and I suppose other people of faith, I think when they think of spirituality, they think that if we were really faithful, if we were more spiritual, we would go up onto mountains more often to pray. We would find ourselves alone more often for the purpose of prayer. And I think that's a good idea, and I think it's a good thing. But we think, I think a lot of us do anyway, maybe I'm the only one, we think that if I were really spiritual, I would disengage from the world, not just for a little time, but for my whole life. I would disengage from the world forever because I'd want to ride the wonderful, wonderful spiritual high that I'm on. I'd go up to the mountain, and I'd never come back. This is the story, it seems to me, of Peter, James, and John when they went up the mountain to spend time with Jesus. Remember the story of the Transfiguration. They go up to the mountain with Jesus, and there at the top, Elijah and Moses show up. And Jesus begins gleaming as in white light. His clothes become bright with light. And I believe it's Peter. I haven't read that story in the last 24 hours, but I believe it's Peter. Peter would certainly say something like this. He says, "Lord, let's make three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and we can kind of hang out up here. We'll stay up here. This will be our new crib, as it were. We'll be on the mountain together, the six of us. We'll never come down." Jesus says no. But it makes sense. When we are in a state of religious bliss, we want to stay in a state of religious bliss. Jesus emphatically, though, says, no, no. You cannot be apart from the world, from the beloved community for too long. The beloved community needs you. So yes, we should pray unceasingly, of course, but we should not go on retreat forever. We need to come back down that mountain to serve in the valley. You know, Jesus bore out in his life. He lived by example. And it's obvious he did not come to this world to be enshrined on a mountaintop or to be in a prayer booth forever. He came to serve the world. That means the beggars in the alleys and to be in the lines with the immigrants at the border, to be with those who are sick over in the hospital, to be with the young who are feeling awkward and alone through their teenage years. That's who Jesus came to come alongside of, to be with, to spend time with, to redeem the world. Jesus knew he had to meet the people of the world. He had to meet the people of the world and find out from the people of the world what they needed to be redeemed from in the first place. Jesus didn't come to be enshrined on a mountaintop with nice views and a temperate climate, sipping iced tea and wearing knee pads for his prayer life. Retreat is good and holy, and it's something we should all build into our lives. But as Jesus told those disciples, you need to come down the mountain because the people in the valley need you. By word and deed, Jesus befriended people, and he got his hands dirty by becoming involved in what they were involved with, by meeting people in the hard places, particularly the places where the boils break the skin and the tears leave tracks down the cheeks of those feeling forsaken, and where those who are hunger deal with those pangs roiling through their gut. Jesus came to meet these people, to love these people, to heal these people, to get to know these people. He didn't come to be cloistered away in a prayer closet. John Bell defines spirituality as getting down to our elbows, up to our elbows in the gospel, by getting up to our elbows in the community around us. This is a quote from John Bell. It's a beautiful little book on spirituality by John Bell. He comes from the Iona community in Scotland. Spirituality is not chiefly concerned with prolonging states of ecstasy, rapture, or private religious intensity. The purpose of spirituality, he says, is to enable people to face the things they would otherwise not want to face. We might get a dose of spirituality on the mountain. That's a good place to get it, or by the seashore, by the lake, wherever. But I think Jesus reminds us to come down from the mountain and to engage. Our calling is to minister with and for people. And for almost all of us, it means getting involved with them. There are some called to the holy calling of cloister. They're called to be away on the mountain forever. That's their life. But even they, who don't have much to do with the commerce of the world, they are praying for the world. And it's often these people, these sages, that the pilgrims seek out. Serving the world, I think, is the key for Jesus. So spirituality, according to John Bell, and I love this, is not our ticket out of the world. If I were more spiritual, I'd just disappear on the mountaintop. No. Spirituality, instead, is our compelling invitation back into the world, back into the center of the world, to the heart of where it's happening. Spirituality is our call to embrace in love the world. Now that means we'll experience moments of bliss. And yes, we'll want to hold on to them. And I suppose it's okay to try, so long as that does not keep us from a willingness to walk alongside others. And that means to be available to their travail. That means to be open to the travail that besets us in our lives. And God knows, we all probably have enough of that. All of our religious heroes knew this, by the way. They knew this. Moses was not some spiritual giant. I mean, he was, but he wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a painting on some stained glass. No, he was a real live man. And he had the burden of his past to deal with that was a weight. You know, he murdered an Egyptian. And he also served a cantankerous, complaining people who nagged him to death and who passed their anxiety to him. Moses, if anybody wanted to go to a mountaintop and find a quiet place to pray alone, it was Moses. And he probably wanted to stay there for the rest of his life to get rid of the people to whom God had called him to serve. It was hard work. And David, too, another spiritual giant. He is accredited for having written some of our most beautiful psalms, our most heartfelt psalms. And yet he too had a past he had to wrestle with, becoming an adulterer and a murderer on top of that. And he knew the terrible, tragic loss of the death of a firstborn son. Can you imagine? Many of you can imagine because you've been there before. Maybe not with adultery, maybe not with murder, but perhaps the loss of someone you love, and, well, heck, perhaps with adultery, perhaps with murder. Our spiritual giants are not perfect people that we put on a pedestal. They're people with clay feet. They're people who lived real lives and got skinned up in the process because of the bad choices they sometimes made. John Bell writes this: "There is no authentic spirituality. There is no true devotion which emanates from a life which is constantly pleasure-filled and pain-free." He says, "The road to holiness leads through the world of action." He says, "Those who wish to know the bliss of shouting hallelujah need to pause with those who say, 'How long, O Lord? How long?'" So, Jesus came down from the mountain of prayer. He dismissed the crowds. He went up to the mountain alone to pray. That's part of the recipe for spirituality, but another part is that he came back down. He came back down that evening and early in the morning found his disciples on the sea, in a storm, in a boat, being tossed by waves, cold and frightened. He steps right into the middle of their topsy-turvy lives and calms the sea and challenges Peter to come walk and embraces them with his love. God in Christ comes to us, friends, when we need and where we need God the most. And the God who has blessed and enriched us calls us to come into other people's storms, into the high tides and the high water and the hazards of their faith. God calls us to step into the busy storms of other people's lives with the grace and the love that God has used to calm the sea of our life. We're called to be in the beloved community, to share and to bear the love of Christ with one another. Friends, what could be more spiritual than that? So in the name of the one whom we seek, in the name of the one around whom we build retreat and solitude and quiet, in the name of the one we find in the sea, by the sea, at the lake, on the mountaintop, in the name of that one who invites us into sweet, holy, one-on-one communion, and in the name of the one who invites us down the mountain, equipping us with gifts to share, in the name of that God be all honor and glory and power and love and thanksgiving forever and ever and ever. And the people of God, let me hear you, the people of God together say, amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.